To me, young teenage years, maybe it's the word preeminent, and you don't get to hear that all the time, but this passage of Scripture is one that has stuck out in my mind over the years, and thankful for the great Savior who truly is the head of all, in charge of everything, overseeing everything, and who makes a difference both in this life and in the life to come. Many years ago in a small town in Virginia, it was said that the newspaper printed the upcoming sermon topics for the local churches. A pastor phoned the editor to share his sermon title for the upcoming Sunday and said the title would be, "The Lord is My Shepherd." And the editor asked, "Is that all?" To which the pastor replied, "That's enough." When the paper arrived at his home, he opened it to find the printed topic, "The Lord is My Shepherd, and That's Enough." The reality is that's all I need. He is enough. Not just I can get by. He is enough. As I know Him, we talked this morning about a proper knowledge of God. When I have that proper knowledge, I realize He's enough. When I have that proper focus, I realize He's all that I need. When I have that proper perspective on peers and others that I can follow their example, ultimately looking at Christ, He is everything that I need. Tonight as we study Colossians chapter 1, I want us to be encouraged that it doesn't matter what I'm going through in life, Jesus is all that I need. It doesn't matter the difficult situations that may come up, Jesus is everything. It doesn't matter how easy life is in life itself. I can truly find my abundant joy in Jesus because He is my great Savior. Before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your love. I thank You for You. Help us to have a special awareness, a change in mind's focus tonight of You, our great Savior, the One who's given so much for us. We thank You that we can come before You and that You can speak to us. We thank You that tonight we can see You in Your Word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The other day as we opened up, last Sunday as we opened up this passage, we talked in, I believe it was 12, 13, and 14, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And we ended there, but this, or in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And we talked about Jesus and how incredible He is. And really in verse 15, we pick up and we see how awesome our Savior is. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Jesus, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, glorious Lord. Maybe you've heard that song. Emmanuel, God is with us. What a great Savior. Our wonderful Savior. Jesus, name above all names. That's truly who we serve. There's another song, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And He's just the same as His lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Look at Jesus tonight. And we see how awesome, how incredible Jesus really is. Jesus is God Himself. Verse 15, we see Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. As we look through this passage, I want you to focus and see how many times you see the pronoun he or him. This passage talks about Jesus. It's him. Everything is in him, of him, for him, to him, by him. Jesus. He is God himself. Verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God? Many times we think of an image, we think of a statue or a profile. The reality of this word is he is not an imitation of God himself. He is God him very self, representing the invisible God. When we think about the Old Testament and God, we think about Moses. When he went and he met with God, when he came out of that tent and he went back to the children of Israel, after meeting with God, his face was bright. Remember, they had to put a cloth over his face? When we see and we think of God, we think of the visible representation, and that is God the Son, Jesus Christ, God himself. Now, as we studied in 1 John, the Trinity or the triuneness of God can be a difficult thing to understand. Sometimes we illustrate that with an egg, which the illustration falls short. But when we have an egg, we think of the yolk, the white, and the shell. And we don't say there are three eggs. There are three parts of that egg. Some people say, well, let's look at a pencil. And you've got the lead, or what they use today, what we use today, graphite, right? We've got the lead, we've got the wood, or plastic, whatever they use. You've got the lead, the wood, and the eraser. We don't say three pencils. It's a pencil, three parts in one. Both of those illustrations don't come close to representing the triuneness of God. Some people talk about the sun, and it gives off light. It gives off heat. It gives off radiation. Yet again, none of these earthly representations are good enough for us to understand the triuneness of God. I don't have my mind fully wrapped around the Trinity of God. Yet the Word of God teaches it, and we believe it. Here in this passage, we're reminded specifically Jesus is the image of God. God, the Father, invisible. Jesus, the earthly, the visible representation of the Father. 1 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Wow, the glorious gospel of Christ. Wow, the image of God. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. We'll talk about, again, the only begotten, the firstborn. We'll talk about some of those things. Full of grace and truth. Now, when Jesus came down to the earth, he wasn't born. In the one sense is that's when his life began. We believe from the Bible that life begins at what? Conception. Not just when that baby is born, but life begins at conception. When Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb, his life did not begin. Jesus has always been. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. We're reminded, and we'll see that here shortly, that Jesus was involved in creation. Jesus, the very image of God, the visible representation of God the Father here on earth. Jesus is indeed God himself. Verse 15 goes on. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? How many of you in here are the firstborn in your family? Any firstborns? Okay, well, we've got a number of firstborns in here. Man, isn't it exciting to be a firstborn? There are some benefits. No. Okay, there are some benefits and there are some negative things, aren't there? The negative things were my younger siblings always got to drink water in the living room before I got to. Now, I'm not joking. My parents were very particular with that. And when we had our Sunday night popcorn, Sherry, we've talked about this. We've had our Sunday night popcorn. Our cup of water had to stay on the table in the other room. It's just water. I mean, maybe they gave us something else once in a while, but it just had to stay there. My little siblings, years later, got to drink in the living room way before I could. Right? I mean, sometimes we, as a firstborn, we say, well, man, that's not fair. Right? Sometimes as younger kids, you say, well, that's not fair. They got to do that first. There are some positives and some negatives of being a firstborn. Here we're reminded that Jesus is the firstborn of God. Now, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only what? Begotten Son. An important aspect, because if you and I are saved, we are a child of God. John 1:12. But there's something still different about Jesus. Yes, we've been adopted into the family of God, but Jesus is the firstborn, this passage says. Jesus, the firstborn of God. The firstborn of every creature. When we hear a firstborn, this really carries a lot of significance. We think of Old Testament and we think of the firstborn. What did the firstborn often get? The double portion, the greater inheritance. But with that also came great responsibility for the family someday. We saw the full rights of heirship. They were an heir of their parents. The heirlooms, that double portion. It involved representation of the father, both in his religious and in his civil capacity. That firstborn son. His sovereignty in the house. It's interesting, Exodus 4:22 and 23. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Even my, guess what word that is there? Firstborn. Israel, firstborn. What? And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Interesting to think about that in light of the plague, right? With the blood over the door, and if the blood wasn't there, if the blood was there, the death angel would pass over, but if the blood wasn't on the doorpost, the firstborn in the house would die. Who did God say was his firstborn? Israel. Now, ultimately pointing to the firstborn, in fact, we can look in Psalms. In fact, turn there with me, if you will. Psalm 89, verse 7. I think this is an important passage to look at. Psalm 89, verse 7. Yes, Israel is referred to and called the firstborn of God. He calls him that in Exodus. Now, if we look at Psalm 89, verse 1, some of you are familiar with this. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Right? There's a song. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all what? Generations. From the children of Israel back in Exodus, for all generations. Of course, even before that, Adam and Eve, God was faithful to them. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Now, who is this ultimately pointing to? Who's going to rule on David's throne? Jesus Christ. Verse 5, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto thee, unto the Lord? Who among the sons of mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Him. Ultimately, we see the firstborn referring to the promised Messiah. Jesus Christ. Here in Colossians, we're reminded he is the firstborn. Verse 15, the firstborn of every creature. He is God himself. You and I can be a child of God if we trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, you can be adopted into the family of God. Jesus paid it all. We'll talk about that shortly here. But for those of us who know Christ as Savior, we're a child of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus, except for there's something special about Jesus that's more so than me. I will never be a God. The Mormon faith teaches that you can become a God of your own, even to the point of having your own planet and all sorts of interesting things that they believe. You and I will never be a God. We're a child of God through Jesus Christ. Yes, we're joint heirs. We have heaven. But there's something about Jesus that we will never match up to. Jesus, the firstborn of God, the image of God. We see in verse 16, Jesus, not just that Jesus is God Himself, Jesus is the head of the universe. He's the head of the universe. It's interesting, the kids' song. I remember we sang that on our bus route when Karen and I would work on our bus route with the kids when we were in high school. And we'd count down, and the kids, you always would enjoy that. You start down low, 10, 9, 8, get all the way down, blast off. Somewhere in outer space, God has prepared a place for those who trust Him. Where is heaven? Can you tell me exactly where it is? So how are you going to get there someday then if you don't even know where it is? How? Faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus has made it possible. Now, we don't know everything about the universe. Man, as scientists study and learn the universe, it's incredible. Any of you ever gone down to the Creation Museum? I know some of you have gone down there. For those of you who have gone down there, have you gone down into the planetarium there? In the planetarium show? Isn't that incredible? You're laying back in their planetarium and you're watching the stars. And they're zooming out in the show that they have. They're zooming out from planet Earth and showing you how insignificant you and I are. But they continue zooming out and showing really how insignificant planet Earth is in light of the universe, in light of our galaxy, and then the universe. Jesus is head over the universe. I mean, we sometimes say, man, we get caught and bogged down in our troubles and trials, and yet we stop to look at Jesus. He's the very Son of God. He's God Himself. He is the head of the universe. Verse 16, for by who? Him. Who's this talking about? Jesus. Sometimes we think of creation. We know in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, but we don't think about Jesus. But Jesus was active in creation. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. So according to that verse, is there anything that was not made by Jesus? I mean, it's incredible to think about that. That all things, I mean, this covers everything that are in heaven and that are in the earth. What are some things in heaven that God created? Now, this can be a little different message. Participate with me. What are some things in heaven that God created? What's that? So angels. God created the angels. What else is in heaven? How about a street of gold? I mean, how about the mansions? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So many things about heaven. I mean, we could go on and on. Paul, the apostle, talks about heaven. What about earth? I mean, just look out and see the creation God has made. And that's just right here. I mean, we could name 100 things looking out this window that we can see out these windows that God created. Just right here. From the dirt to the bugs to the grass to the trees to the bushes to, I mean, you name it. Right here, this area. Incredible. By Him were all things made that are in heaven and that are in earth. And then it goes on, visible and invisible. How many of you are visible? Good. Most of us in here are. If you aren't visible, please stay away from me. I might run you over. We're all visible. You see me and I see you. And God made the visible things of this earth. How about the trees? Humans. What are some invisible things that God made? How about wind? Can you see the wind? You can see the results of the wind when the wind trees blow or the tall grass moves. You can feel it when you're driving down the road and it pushes your car. But you don't see the wind. How about heat from the sun? Can you see that heat? You can see the light, but I sure can feel that heat. It was unreal. We got in our car this afternoon to go home, And as we're driving down the road, I said, honey, it's unreal that it's only, whatever it was, 31, something like that this afternoon. Because it didn't feel like that in our car. One of the kids said, Dad, can you turn the air on? I mean, that sun warms up cars. God made everything that's from the visible to the invisible. Jesus was active in creation. Incredible. John 1. Turn back to John real quick. The Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There we see already what we've talked about. Jesus was God Himself. The same was in the beginning with God. And we'll see the beginning. We'll talk about that shortly. Verse 3. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus, very active in creation. Not only physically, but spiritually. Look at verse 4. In Him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. God made everything. Jesus made the Garden of Eden, made Adam and Eve, made the animals. Adam and Eve sinned. And the only way that they could have life was through Jesus. Jesus is, yes, the head of the universe, and we'll see shortly the head of the church. But in Him was made salvation possible for us. Wow. Jesus, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. What a great God, but then that He'd be willing to come down and die for me. It's interesting, it's not only says that all things were created by Him, but the last phrase in verse 16 says what? For Him. I am not made for Josh Swearinga. I am not made so I can do whatever I please with my life. I don't exist for me. I exist for Him. Whether I acknowledge that truth or not doesn't change the fact He made me for Him. There are many people who don't acknowledge Jesus as Savior. Again, we talked about that, and we're going to get into some more practical tools that we can do with sharing our faith. But we've talked about the truth that you and I have a responsibility to share the gospel with the unsaved world around us. But there are going to be people, many people, who reject that. And it sometimes you get so close and you see them so close that it doesn't make sense. I think Paul was like that with Felix and Festus. Almost thou hast persuaded me. And it's like, why not? Whether they acknowledge it or not, everyone is made for Him. The trees are made for Him. Save the whales. Why? I mean, there's a point we want to be wise stewards of God's creation. But it's not just so we can make everything continue on in this earth. God has given us dominion over the earth, but even the animals were made for who? Him. Why is it? Again, so many different things we can look at. Is it okay to burn wood, burn trees for heat? Is it okay to hunt animals for food? I mean, so many different things. Well, yeah. All things were made for Him. Wow. So what about my life? What about my choices of entertainment? Am I allowing my media choices to be for Him? He's the head over the universe. He's made all things. Does that mean art is beautiful? Maybe you enjoy an art museum. We only went to one art museum once, and it was because it was free, and it was in Muskegon. So you can guess it wasn't that huge of an art museum. But we enjoyed our time there, and there were some pretty neat things there. But did you know there were a couple sections that we just kind of walked through real quick? Because there's some pretty raunchy things that people call art too, aren't there? Just because God made it doesn't mean it's art. Just because God made certain things doesn't mean we can just go and enjoy whatever. People could say that then about pornography and so many other things. Well, God made it, so it's okay to enjoy. No, wait a second. All things were made for Him. And I need to evaluate all of my choices that I make, media inputs, so books, TV, internet, whatever I put into my life, is it for Him? Or do I just do it to please my flesh? And it might not be some sinful thing. But is it just to please me? I need to evaluate what I do. Everything about me must be to glorify Him. He is the head of the universe. Oh, what a Savior. All things were made by Him and for Him. Verse 17. And here's that pronoun again. And what? He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Wow. He created all things for Himself. He holds all things together. This word consist. To set together. To be composed of. Cohere. We don't hear of that word very often. Coherence. Hear more of that. To stick together. To be united. There's coherence in that. It sticks together. It's united. It works well. By Him, all things work together. We don't always understand why we have some storms, big storms, hurricanes, typhoons, tsunamis, tornadoes. Some of these things, we don't understand. Now, God allows them and He uses them. Sometimes we see wildfires and how they just ravage areas, and then a short time later, man, so much has grown back in that area. We see so many different things that work together. Even tough things that don't always make sense in our understanding. But we always have to remember that His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts than our thoughts. He holds all things together. Jesus, He's God Himself. Jesus, He is the head of the universe. And Jesus, He is the head of the church. Verse number 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Now this morning in our auditorium Sunday school class, we talked about what? That big A word. I heard it. Autonomy of the local church. Autonomy. We are directly accountable to who? Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. There's not some convention that we have to send in all of our annual reports to. How many people got saved and baptized? Now, again, man, we're burdened for that stuff. How much were we able to give and give towards missions? And I mean, we're burdened for that stuff. But the reality is we aren't sending it off to some organization out there that says you have to do this, or, man, we might have to give you a different pastor because you guys aren't accomplishing everything we're expecting you to accomplish right now. The autonomy of the local church. Because we are directly accountable to Jesus Christ, who is the head of the body. And then in parentheses there, the church. We are an autonomous church directly accountable to Jesus Christ. It's interesting when you think about your body. So you look at your hands, you've got your feet, your legs. What part of your body directs the rest of it? Brain. Your brain. And where is your brain? It's in your head. If Jesus is the head of the church, who directs the church? He does. And that's where you and I need to live and how we need to live and function. I'm directed by Jesus Christ. The head directs the body. Not the body say, what pleases the crowd? What's going to bring the biggest crowd to us? And many people take surveys. I've heard of churches going into their communities and taking a survey. What do you want to see in a church? That can be okay to a degree until we then make decisions based off of that list. Because it's not a community that must dictate how the church acts. It's Jesus Christ who dictates how the church acts. It's not just we're here to please people and to fulfill what they want to see in a church. We want to please Christ, and He will grow His church, Jesus said, and I will build my church. And so we must be faithful to how He says as a church we must function. That organized body of local saved believers. How we must function. Jesus is the head of the church. We must trust in Him. He is the beginning. It says, who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead. Beginning. Revelation 21. In fact, turn to Revelation real quick. We'll look at a verse in 21 and 22. Revelation 21. Verse number 6. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. Now, there is a homeschool material curriculum that's called Alpha and Omega. Maybe some of you have heard of that curriculum that they've got out there. The reality is here, Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. The beginning and the end. That's who he is. Chapter 22. Verse number 12. Let's start there. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. It's all about Christ. He is the head of the body, the church. Firstborn of the dead, Acts 3:15, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, the firstborn from the dead. Jesus wasn't the first to come back to life, but it was in his power. Paul said this morning in Philippians 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. How many people can bring themselves back up from the dead? It's the power of him, the firstborn from the dead. The church begins in Christ. Not because we said, let's organize into a church. It's about Christ. He is the beginning. He has the preeminence, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. This word preeminence, to have first place, the priority. The next verse, 19, talks about how the fullness of God dwells in him. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. He is God himself. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When we speak of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we say three in one. Look at what verse 9 said again. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Is Jesus 100% God? He sure is. And don't let anyone talk you out of that. Oh, what a Savior. That 100% God would die for me? I don't deserve that. Who am I? He's created everything, but he loves me too? That he'd come and die for me? You know, he didn't come and die for animals. Animals weren't made in the image of God. Jesus came to die for us. He is the preeminent one. In him dwelt the forces and laws of the first creation. We already looked at that, the head of the creation, the head of the universe. By him were all things created. In him dwelt the forces and laws of the first creation. In him likewise all the fullness engaged in the new creation. Salvation. Remember, Paul says, behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creature in Christ. The new creation is only possible through Jesus Christ, who had the power to create everything and the power to give new life for me. He has salvation, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of, what's that pronoun? His cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Look at this passage, how many times it talks about him. Many times when we get around people and all they do is talk about themselves. I, me. You ever get sick of being around someone like that? But there's something about that name, Jesus. Man, I can't hear enough of him. Jesus, oh, how sweet the sound. Wow. Jesus, about him. Oh, what a Savior. To reconcile, made in agreement that I've been reconciled, or made in agreement that I have peaceful relations with God because of Jesus. Hebrews 9, 11 through 14. But Christ being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and of the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Wow. Jesus died for you and me. His blood has made it all possible for me to have a peaceful relationship with God instead of standing in judgment for my sin. Hebrews 10, 12 through 22. I won't read this passage. I encourage you to go read it. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Near the end of that passage, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Jesus, active in creation, active in salvation, in my salvation. Our great Savior, aren't you thankful? We have a Savior who's done so much. And in spite of everything he knows everything. In spite of everything he's done in creation, the visible, the invisible, in heaven and in earth, he loves me. So as we go this week, let's thank him. Let's serve him. Let's praise him. Jesus, the very thought of thee brings me to rejoice. Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, I pray that you would help us this week to worship you. Oh, what a Savior. My Savior. Help me this week to live for you. Help me to be focused on you. Help us this week to draw nigh with a pure heart, being changed and challenged by your word. This evening, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed,